Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I'm Laura.
And I'm Marty.
All right, we've now identified ourselves, so we're clear. And we are really excited today. Marty's actually home and not running somewhere. I'm home and not running somewhere. It's like a fantastic weekend across the country. And we have had several listener requests, and we tell you guys this all the time. Remember, subscribe, follow the show, and send in your request. We'll answer them. And this is one of our listener requests. A listener wanted to know, why do people have pet allergies, which we may or may not be able to dive into too deep, but specifically, does the new Purina food that is to prevent allergies to cats, does that actually work? So what do you think, Marty?
And the answer is, I've heard very good things about it.
Yeah,
so
same.
Yes, I think it does. For a lot of years, I mean, I grew up in a family with allergies. My dad and my sisters had allergies. So I grew up in a fuzzy-free life. I had pets that were chicken and goldfish and stuff like that, but snakes and, you know, all the things that didn't have hair, but there were no hairy pets in my life until I grew up and left my parents' home. So once I got out of veterinary school, I populated my life to compensate for that. We'll just not go there. But yeah, it appears that this is a pretty good product. And it's been kind of interesting to follow because over the years, there's been a lot of discussion about what are the allergens? Is it to the saliva? Is it to one of the gentlemen that I used to work for as a veterinarian used to think he was allergic to cats. And it turned out he was allergic to cat litter. It wasn't the cat themselves. So we stopped using litter in the practice. So when cats would be hospitalized, we would shred newspaper because it was back in the day before we had clay or clumping litters. So yeah, there's a lot of things that can be allergens. So is it the pet? Is it something that the pet is associated with?
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I had a client that had a dog with bad skin, and the dog started to get that really bad smell that you get with seborrhea. And so the more seborrheic the dog got, the more she put carpet powder down. The more carpet powder she put down, the worse the dog's skin got. And the dog was allergic to the carpet. Yeah, the dog was allergic to the carpet powder. So you have to try to get to the source. So maybe it isn't the cat. Maybe it is the cat litter. So try a different litter. Maybe it is the cat and the food can help it. So there's a lot to be said about this.
One of the things, and we were talking about this a little bit off air, we know for a fact that allergies in pets run in families, that there is a hereditary component. We also know that that is a case in humans, right?
Yes.
So there's another whole conversation around, are you allergic to your pet? Is your pet allergic to grass, right? All of those types of allergies and how hereditary is that? How much do we need to think about that when we purchase a pet?
Right. And that's definitely something you want to think about. I mean, there's a big movement now toward the dogs that don't shed, and there's actually a DNA test for that so that the doodle breeders can test to see if they have a wavy coat or a curly coat, and they're less likely to be allergic, people allergic, if the dog has a curly coat rather than a wavy coat. So those are important distinctions to make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's the things that come along with the pet. It might be that your pet has a wool blanket and you're allergic to the wool, not the pet. Many years ago, my mother-in-law had a second husband. Her first husband passed. Her second husband moved into the home. She had three cats. He brought with him four cats. So there were seven cats in their home. And for years and years and years, he thought he had summer allergies because he would break out on the fronts of his calves, his lower legs, with this rash. And we were, you know, looking at the cats one day and they had fleas. Yeah. Well, it turned out he was allergic to the flea bites, and they weren't too bad in the wintertime because there weren't that many fleas in the home. But in the summer, his wife's cats would go outside, bring fleas into the house. And so as soon as we realized that it was a flea allergy and got rid of the fleas, his cat allergy went away because it was the fleas. So pets can be allergic to flea bites. People can be allergic to flea bites. Mm-hmm. And the average person can get a dozen flea bites and not react to it. The average cat can get hundreds of flea bites and not react. But if they're allergic, one flea bite a week is all it takes for a dog or a cat to be triggered into that allergic response. Mm-hmm. So the products that we have on the market now that do flea and tick control are just a godsend for those situations. There are orals, there are topicals, there are injectables, and there are collars. So we no longer have the icky organophosphate, icky carbamate, toxic collars, flea powders, flea sprays, all the stuff that we had when I started practice that worked reasonably well, but they had some toxicity potential for people as well as the pets. Mm-hmm. That now that we have these newer products, many of them are nicotinamides and other products that only affect the nervous system of the critter, not the pet. Mm-hmm. They're safer for us. They're safer for our pets. And so putting our pets on these products on a regular basis, whether it's the monthly topical or the monthly oral or the newest one, and I don't think we've talked about this.
I don't know if we've talked about it on this show. No, huh?
Yeah. The Bravecto Quantum is now available. It's a one-year injection that you trot into your veterinary clinic, take in your dog. It's only for dogs right now. You go in. I just did two of these on Friday. You pull up to the vet clinic. You go inside. You get an injection. You leave, and that's it. You are done for a year. No topicals,
and
no orals.
And that is flea and tick.
Uh-huh. It is flea and tick. It's called Bravecto Quantum. Right. It's very comparable in price to a year's worth of flea and tick preventives if it's given orally. It's a little more expensive than the topicals, but honestly, this is absolutely amazing. And you have to remember that fleas and ticks are not innocuous. They carry disease that people can get too. Right. So getting a tick bite, it's not just that your dog has a tick, but your dog is now bringing ticks into your environment. Your dog and cat are now bringing fleas into your environment. So those are really important. There are some suggestions that need more research to prove, but there are suggestions that some of the tick-borne diseases can lead to cancer development in people. So this is not something that you take lightly. We can get Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Lyme disease. I see there's a whole global Lyme alliance now that's advertised on TV. So fleas and ticks carry Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, Ehrlichia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, bubonic plague. I mean, there's this whole long list. If you Google it, you'll be unhappy. You do not want fleas and ticks on your pets.
So we're going to do our little devil's advocate game because I know we love this game.
Right.
I had an individual that was sort of in my life and around me who was, I mean, like quite literally violently anti-chemical and like wrote it in her contracts. And, you know, okay, I live in Southern Oregon. Like most of the things are pretty manageable if someone is that manic about it. Not everybody lives in the high desert of Las Vegas or, you know, whatever, right, where things are. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because there are dogs, I don't know about cats, but I know there are dogs that certain flea and tick preventatives are concerned for seizures or, you know, whatever it is. So talk us through that. Talk us through helping talk down the violently anti-chemical crowd, which... Guys, I'm not picking on you, okay? I understand why you think the way you do, but I think there's maybe some balancing opinions on that.
Sure. So first of all, natural doesn't mean safe.
Right. We have had that conversation.
Right. You can take a natural product like foxglove, which has digitalis in it, and it's toxic to your heart. So yes, it grows as a plant, and yes, it's natural, but it can be toxic. So first of all, natural doesn't mean safe. Natural means that it grew as a plant, but many of the things that we use are plant in origin. Something like ivermectin was originally found in a mold in the soil. Mm-hmm. I don't know who thought that that would turn into a heartworm preventive, but it has. So we have ivermectin and selamectin as some of the products that a lot of people are concerned about if they have MDR1 dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have an MDR1 dog, A, you can DNA test for it and you know, and B, the doses that we give for pets for those products when they're given on a monthly basis are in the microgram range and those are safe. We know they are safe. The products that get you into trouble is if you have an MDR1 dog and you use it at the higher dose, right, that would control something like mites. One of my former employees had a dog that got into the tack box in her barn, chewed up a bottle of ivermectin and died of a toxicity. I mean, it's a real thing. And in no way am I minimizing the importance of that. But I am saying that if you're giving heartworm preventive at the HeartGuard or the IverHeart dose, it is not toxic even for MDR1 dogs. The other products, like I said, things are really specific to the insect's nervous system. We have gotten more sophisticated in our ability to craft products that are safer. So yes, organophosphates affected our nervous systems. Yes, carbamates affected our nervous systems, that of our pets. But these newer products do not in the way that these other products did. If you have a seizure-prone dog, any of the drugs that are oral or the injectable Bravecto, so Bravecto, Credelio, NexGard, and Simparica, can all lead to seizures in seizure-prone dogs, but normal dogs should not seize given them at the therapeutic dose. But if your dog has tremors or a seizure and you have one dose of it, you don't give it again. You just simply don't give it again. And that's pretty easy to do.
Right. And so I guess the balance that I'm hearing then is, yes, there are some chemicals that are bad for this particular dog or this particular family or what have you, but that the dangers of the pests, right, the pesky pests, outweigh the potential risk of using some of these other preventatives. Am I getting that right?
Yes, because you want to control the flea and tick populations that are carrying these diseases. And those are far more significant and certainly more prevalent than these other things. In our practices in Wisconsin, we diagnose at least one tick-borne disease a day, not every now and then. A day, sometimes whole households of dogs will carry one of these diseases or have multiples. We have dogs that'll have more than one tick-borne disease. So it's pretty important that we're paying attention to those things. And it's definitely regional. If you live in the Mississippi Delta region, you have resistant heartworm and resistant hookworms. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we're going to see those in other parts of the country as well. So yes, if you live in the high desert north of Las Vegas, you're probably pretty safe because it's dry and it's really harsh for those insects. And the fleas are insects, ticks are arachnids. It's pretty hard for them to live there. But if you live in most of the rest of the country where we have a reasonable amount of rain and a reasonable amount of warm weather where these parasites are being perpetuated, then you need to be paying attention to those products. So, you know, be smart about it. It's like lepto vaccine. We used to say, oh, you know, lepto could cause some reactions, but now lepto is considered to be a core vaccine for most dogs. And we actually have never diagnosed one, but apparently lepto can happen in cats too. We don't vaccinate cats for it. But we used to say, oh yeah, you know, certain breeds shouldn't have lepto vaccine. Well, people wrote that into their contracts. Well, that was a thing of the past. 15 years ago, they cleaned up the vaccine. 15 years ago, it got better. And people are still living in the past and not really paying attention to the fact that it has now moved into a core vaccine protocol, according to the American Med Association, according to AHA. So if you have pets that have standing water in your yard, which is almost everyone, unless you live in, you know, desert regions, you're going to have pets that are exposed to lepto, and lepto is a pretty bad disease. So we should be paying attention and keeping ourselves up to date with what's new product, what the product's advantages are, what the disadvantages are, because it's not like it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. So pay attention.
Hey, friends. Did you know that the Marty and Laura Show website has a special page just for young animal lovers? Whether your child is meeting their first pet or already dreaming of becoming a veterinarian, Kids Corner is a place to explore animals through creativity, curiosity, and age-appropriate learning. Designed for young animal lovers and their families, these resources encourage empathy, responsibility, and a lifelong love of pets. Start off with a free coloring page. That's right. A new coloring page is available regularly. Download one free and check back often for new designs. And if you love that free page, take your coloring adventure further with the 10-page Color Me Pets coloring pack for just $5. Each page is filled with adorable, breed-specific dogs and fun educational prompts that spark creativity and curiosity. This pack is perfect for kids who want to explore, who want to color, and who want to discover more about pets. It encourages careful observation, fine motor skills, and an appreciation for animals, all while providing hours of fun. Plus, it's an easy, printable download, perfect for rainy days, long car rides, or creative play at home. Artwork by award-winning artist Sandy Mesmer the Color Me Canine Collection brings even more adorable pets and fun designs. Explore full coloring books available online through Sandy's shop link on our page. Visit martyandlauraShow.com/kids-corner to learn more.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
This is really important, and I was one of those people who did not vaccinate lepto because I'd had a dog with a lepto reaction. I'm like, okay, well, we're not doing that. And I had all of the current research, and this would have been like, you know, 2002, right? Mm-hmm. And I have changed my protocol as I've gotten new information. And I think so often what I see happen, and you just talked about it, we get a thing set in our mind, like this is this, and then nothing ever changes. Right? Like my mother's obsession with certain anesthesia drugs that no longer was really applicable because it had been then, but it isn't now. Right. And right. So that kind of, how do we help people make that transition, right? From, okay, 20 years ago was 20 years ago. Today is today. And there have been changes. How do we help them with that transition?
Well, I graduated from veterinary school a hot minute ago, and they told us within 5 years of the time we graduated, 50% of what we were taught would be obsolete or wrong. Wow. And you would just have to figure out which 50% it was. Well, now, I mean, it's been 40 plus years, and I can't even imagine that half-life is probably now 3 months when you graduate from veterinary school, that things have changed so much. So essentially, you need to keep up with what's current. So pay attention to the articles that are published, pay attention to blogs and other resources from people who are reliable.
Listen to the Marty and Laura show.
Well, yeah, and use reliable sources. Don't go to Facebook and think that Facebook has all the most current information, or Reddit. I've seen some stuff on Reddit that just, I'm like, are you serious? So make sure that you're paying attention to the people who are actually in the know. There's some really, really good current things that are out there, like blog posts like Worms and Germs. This guy's a veterinarian in Canada, and he keeps up with all the current stuff with pet food and parasites and viruses. So pay attention to people that actually are keeping current and know what they're talking about. And stop living in the past, sort of get over it, and realize that we have much better opportunities than we did then.
Well, I don't know that get over it is the right answer, but truly move forward, right? Like get ahead. Catch up.
Okay.
I think catch up is good. And the other thing I wanted to circle back on one item on our allergy conversation that sent us down this little rabbit hole. I know, it's okay. I think that it is poorly understood when we talk about different breeds of dogs and different crossbreeds of dogs, that you were talking about the DNA test. Does a particular dog have a curly or a wavy coat? The more accurate DNA test would be, is it hair or is it fur? Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that people understand that concept, that the non-shedding breeds, right? The poodles, the Bichons, the Portuguese water dogs, all of these breeds that have that genetic makeup have hair the same way we have hair. And that other dogs who shed, Labrador retrievers and golden retrievers and all of these other breeds that shed, have fur. And it's two separate things. That is a groomer factoid that you learn as a dog groomer, that there are two different types of stuff that goes on a dog, right? And the kind that sheds is fur, and the kind that doesn't shed is hair. And the hair is what most people find to be less allergen prone.
Right. Right. I can tell you one thing about it, and that's when we put dogs on chemo, if they have fur, they don't lose their hair. If they have hair, they lose their hair.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yes.
There's Marty's favorite thing to do, which is blow up my brain.
That's the best I can give you today.
Fascinating. Yeah.
So if you put your Bichon on chemo, it's going to be hairless. If you put your Labrador or Golden Retriever on chemo, it's going to look just the same as it always has. So it is a difference in, yeah, how they respond to different drugs.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a different thing. I mean, hair versus fur, yeah. But wow.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. Okay. So other areas of allergy, the food that Purina has done a ton of research on. So I feel pretty comfortable on that. And I'll put a link in the show notes, you guys, because I just had a conversation with one of the Purina vets actually talking about that particular food and a few other things. And the amount of research.
It's called Live Well. So if somebody's looking for it, you can certainly find it.
Yep.
And there are sprays and shampoos and other products on the market that can be helpful in also controlling the allergens for your pet. Mm-hmm. But the person who has the allergy should not be the person who does the bathing and the blowing out and the combing and all that stuff. You know, just to minimize the exposure, it kind of makes sense, but sometimes what makes sense doesn't always happen. So if you are the person with the allergies, you hand that task off to someone else in your household that can help you with that, or you take them to a groomer and have it done professionally so that
love our groomers.
That's not in your life. There are also places you can take your pet and do the bathing and grooming and the blowing out. Around us, we've got car washes that have a garage bay in between that have a dog wash. You put your little quarters in and it shoots out the shampoo and the cream rinse and then the blower. And you can do it at some of the doggy daycares.
A lot of the groom shops have it too. Like we had it. The groom shop I worked in was a humongous. I mean, we ran 40 dogs a day through that groom shop. So that was, you know, part of the boarding kennel that it was attached to was the self-wash place. I think it's another little tiny tidbit that I find really, really interesting when we're talking about allergies and people being allergic to dogs. How much do you know about Shar Pei and the particular hair coat that Shar Pei have?
Well, there's a horse coat and a brush coat.
Yes.
And I think there might be a third one, but I can't.
Those are the two primary. Horse coat is super short. Brush coat is not a long coat, but it's longer and
it's
thicker.
Longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My first couple of years out of school, I worked at a clinic where some of the first Shar Peis in the United States were seen. It was a woman that ran the veterinary clinic, and she did a lot of work with the Shar Peis. So we saw a lot of them. And one of the employees was highly allergic to that coat. So he would put a pair of denim blue jeans over his arms when he would touch the dogs as a shield so that he could actually like hold them and help us. I have never had an allergic reaction, but it's significant.
It's real. And interesting side note, in conversation with Shar Pei breeder, that basically the ability of the hair to cause irritation was bred for. It was part of the purpose. It was a deterrent to another animal or another dog biting them, that would be part of their like repellent. It's so fascinating to me, all of the various things about dogs.
Yeah, for sure. It's like a monarch butterfly tastes bad.
Right.
So other butterflies mimic their appearance so that they're not prey for other species. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating how the animal world works.
Yeah, I love that. Bull snakes that act like rattlesnakes. You know, all the stuff.
Why not? Right?
Okay.
Why not?
Cats. Because there's two things I want to talk about. Cat allergies and also the idea of hairless dogs and cats. Right? Nakeds. That many people who are allergic to various pet dander, etc., when they have a Chinese crested or a Sholokh squintly or a Peruvian Inca orchid or these hairless terrier, various hairless dog breeds, and there's also like Sphinx cats and a couple hairless cat breeds, that people have less allergic reaction. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, we have had the experience of seeing those patients for that very reason. People sometimes seek them out because they're interesting looking, but there's a pretty high percentage of people that seek those out because they find that they are easier to live with and their allergens are better under control. And so it is a way to own a dog or a cat that you otherwise would own goldfish or snakes as your pet of choice. And, you know, there's something about a snake that's just not as cuddly as a beautiful little cat or a beautiful little dog. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they're definitely preferences that people have because of that.
Okay. Yeah. I know, having interviewed people that have these breeds, particularly Sholos, that frequently the people who come to them for a dog are coming specifically because it is a non-allergenic. Yeah. Yeah.
And people can spell Chinese crested and they can probably spell Sphinx, but they probably can't spell
Sholo exquintly.
Right. So X-O-L-O.
Yes.
So if you're Googling it, start with an X.
X-O-L-O. And you can also stop by Pure Dog Talk, where we have an interview with breeders of Sholo exquintly. And you can learn about them. They're a fascinating, fascinating ancient breed from South America.
And they've always been hairless.
Right. And they here's an interesting factoid also. Sholos, and actually all of the hairless breeds that I'm aware of, all have a coated variety. So like Chinese crested have nakeds and they have puffs.
Yep.
And that the reason for that is because if the teeth in the dogs that have hair, the coated versions, keep the naked versions from being toothless, and that something in the hair and the teeth is the same. Mm-hmm. And when you do too many generations without breeding to a coated dog, you just wind up with no teeth. Fascinating. Whole conversation about it over on Pure Dog Talk.
Right. But don't think that this is a recent thing that people have bred.
No.
Just to be weird. I just think it's important that people who are not familiar with those breeds understand that this is not a recent human creation.
No, this is an ancient, particularly the Peruvian Inca orchid and the Sholo exquintly. Both are very, very old breeds. All right. There you go, guys. Allergies of dogs and amongst dogs, I guess.
Right. But we will have coming up, there's some new allergy drugs on the market. There's a really nice new one that's showing a lot of promise. So
for dogs.
We'll have one. Yeah, for dogs. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing an episode on that. Mm-hmm. So pay attention for that if you've got dogs that have allergies.
Something that's better than like the Apoquel or whatever.
Hands down. It's going to be very exciting.
Crazy. I'm excited. And of course, you're Marty Greer, so you know all these things.
I try to stay relevant.
That's why I love to talk to you, because you're always ahead of the game. All right, you guys, everybody have a fantastic spring day wherever you are, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.